In our last home, we had a compost bin. At the farthest edge of the yard, we would fill it up with, you know, the cut-up leaves and the grass clippings, carrot shavings and peelings from apples, all of the other vegetables and fruit peelings. We were pretty careful about all of this. And then we would turn it over a couple of times, and we would regularly check in on the progress of our pile. We were hoping that over time, this would turn into this rich and beautiful soil. And every time we checked in on it, adding scraps or taking the pitchfork and turning it over, we got really excited about the new soil that would soon be ours. This full transformation that was soon coming. From the scraps that we no longer needed, read trash we were getting rid of, something new and better was being made. Our discarded leftovers were being made into something. This month, we've been seeking the joy of God in our lives as we also, with the wise men, returned home by another road. We've been celebrating those road markers along the way where God has already been and where God will be in the future. And today, looking at what distracts us from that full joy, that gift of the Holy Spirit, and also how we can cultivate the full and powerful presence of God in our lives. And all those things and many more that distract us are Paul's lists of no's. They're in like every single one of Paul's letters. Paul has a whole bunch of don't do's, and this one is no different. Do not be angry, and do not be full of wrath, and do not be malicious. Who would choose to be this way anyway? No one of us sets out and says in the morning, I'd like to be angry today, or today I'd choose to be malicious. Do not slander, and do not let abusive language slip or tumble or cascade from your mouth. I'm sure that Paul has heard one or two or none of us here at a bad moment. I'm sure it was never me. Do not lie to one another. None of us set out in the morning to do that thing. And yet we know all of this distracts somehow from joy. There's times that all of us, like Paul writes later, I do the thing I didn't mean to do, and I didn't do the thing I really meant to do. There's something somehow that we end up doing. Paul, the apostle and perhaps burgeoning farmer, didn't stop there. On this cold and somehow messy day, when our minds are far from the daffodils poking up through the warm spring grounds, or we haven't yet began to fantasize about ripe tomatoes, or haven't even yet planted anything, I'm thinking spinach, in the ground, Paul offers us some signs of renewal, some hope. From my compost bin at our previous home, we learned about a robust theology of compost. Who thought there was any theology in a messy bin of compost? Death and dying, suffering, and the ways in which we hurt each other on accident are never the end of any story. A compost bin teaches you that redemption and things changing, being transformed, is actually written right in to nature. You see, in a compost bin, y'all know this as much as I do, there's change. Worms help some of this. You'll forgive me a little bit for this. Worms are the backbone and the superheroes, if you will, of transformation. It's not just one worm, if you've ever lifted that thing up. It's a whole bunch of worms that do that. What would be overload for just one of them is life for the whole community of them. Worms disregarded by most of us who'd rather not have them in our presence is necessary to turn the discarded scraps of my kitchen or yours into rich, vibrant, desirable, transformed soil. So what about these distractions from joy I was just talking about? The malice, the abusive speech, the lying, the anger, the slander, the malice that none of us woke up in the morning saying that we were going to do. All of those embarrassing ways of being that we hardly would want to admit out loud once or twice. We admit that sometimes it's distracted us from our joy, and we need to let it go into the compost pile of our lives, thanking the worms, forgive me here for a minute, into the process of letting God use it for transforming our lives. You know, our compost bin at the old house worked best when we regularly turned it over, when we regularly added and regularly worked at it. A robust theology of compost testified that God urges those who've been shamed not to shame them, but to love them. In the act of love, we prepared the soil so God's love could take root. Transformation and compost are the way through those distractions of joy. While I was on my renewal leave, I attended a conference with an excellent teaching session. There was a speaker by the name of Jeff Chu. He's a theologian and a writer, and he had us do a really interesting exercise. You see, he had about 1,500 participants write down our deepest fear. It was on a 3x5 card, and he said, fear is at the heart of what distracts us from joy. So, bravely, chose one thing. There could have been a whole bunch. One thing that was a fear. And on these cards listed fear of loss and fear of abandonment, fear of being wrong, and fear of bad parenting, fear of humiliation, and fear of rejection, fear of failure, and fear of not being enough, fear of being too much, fear of disappointing God, fear of many other things, fear that sneaks out in the form of malice and anger, fear of how it is that we hurt one another. And a week later, the speaker sent out this picture. This is a compost pile at the Farminary at Princeton Seminary, where he's a student. And amidst the spaghetti squash and the coffee grounds that you see, there's eggshells and wood chips there. It's balanced. For those of you who, like me, might worry a little bit about the compost, he buried the fears after taking the pictures. You see, they're dying now, the fears, to be redeemed as good soil and new life with the help of some worms as well. Because we, when we let go of our fears, do the hard work of spiritual and emotional composting in our lives as well. This story of composting, of letting go of our distractions from joy, begins with God, who turns fear into courage and sorrow into joy, death into life. In the church, we've often imagined that there's no need for compost and transformation. We've often thought that good church people don't necessarily get angry and don't have an awful lot of fears and certainly don't mouth off. That happens somewhere else. There's not a lot we've imagined that distracts good church people from joy. But friends, composting is necessary even in the church. It misses the reality that we already need redemption and we need it regularly. We compost because we believe that God is still at work. Our distractions from joy are the way through which we understand how to be actively clothed, as Karen read for us, in compassion and in kindness, in humility, in meekness and in patience. If only we can keep bearing one another in love. If only. I think that might be the hardest thing. If only we're willing to keep adding to our compost bin. And if we continue to keep removing the practices that distract us from joy, we cultivate again and remind ourselves that God was always working through us. God was always doing this good work. In the book that inspired this series, the book of Joy, Happiness in the Changing World, the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop Desmond Tutu offer this practice. I want to share it with you. Consider that each person you meet is made in the image of God. Let me expand on it just a little bit. Imagine in your mind someone who is so important to you. Maybe it's your husband or your wife. Maybe it's your daughter or your son. Maybe it's your dearest friend. Maybe it's your dog. Whoever it is, or your cat, whoever it is, who is so deeply dear to you. And if you take this moment to imagine that person in your mind and think about how much you love them and how much they delight you, and thank God for them. If you then consider today someone who you would meet and someone who you've not yet met, could be a new neighbor or someone at the grocery store. It could be someone whom, when you meet, you might begin to judge, right? Someone who you might begin to make assumptions about. And instead, when you meet them, the first thing you say is, that one is made in the image of God. That one is God's beloved child. One change, right? Simple and profound. This one is God's child. Your perception and even your social assumptions change. Imagine on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend how we might seek ways to transform our personal assumptions in just a simple way. I was touched this week when one of my favorite poets passed away this week. I wonder if you heard about it. Mary Oliver. And I remembered that her poem, The Summer Day, and I wanted to share one line with you. She observes in awe, the swan and the bear, and she asked this question. Tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? So friends, where is it that you have distractions from joy? Where is it that anger and frustration you didn't wake up with, fear and loneliness, have taken over? Put them in the compost bin, where they belong. A robust theology of compost celebrates redemption, the work of the community, the importance of worm, and hope even when everything feels like trash. What beautiful practices and new things might yet grow in their place. In building our compost bins, we cultivate joy. We remember that we cannot go around this compost process. We must go right through it. In your one wild and precious life, may God abide with you in turning over that fear, that anger, that malice, that wrath, that slander, and that resentment. You didn't want them anyway. And let the God of us all bless you abundantly as we cultivate a life removing, giving up those distractions, and letting God transform each and every one of them. This, my friends, is the gospel. It's good news from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.